What's so great about? What's so great about?
So great about the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell have you been?
Very well, Terry, very well. And how have you been?
I too have been well.
You threw off the system.
I fucked it up. Literally 20 seconds into the thing.
Leaving it in. Okay.
Cracking a can of
what is it? Coke Zero?
Coke Zero, yeah.
Hey, now you're talking my language.
Blown out the levels already as well. Sorry, folks. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you how you've been.
Good. Let's just pull this off. We're, of course, talking about what's so great about Wes Anderson. We're going through his filmography. One at a time. We're talking Darjeeling Limited this week, but before we get into that, Andy, to answer your question, I was sick this week. We were supposed to record a few days ago, and I had to leave you a voice message. I doubt I sounded well.
You didn't sound well.
No.
I will say that.
It was not good. Monday night, I had a terrible night's sleep. I'd had a bit of a sinus headache, and they do say that, you never know these days with fucking COVID, they do say it's, you know, that's part of it. I was doing the old antigen tests, all negative, and then Monday night, my body was just like, you know what, see ya.
I'm out.
Yeah, so I was in a heap. I was, again, still tested negative, but I felt worse than if I had COVID.
Yeah.
Ended up going to the doctor on Thursday, which is something I am loath to do. I hate giving them that fucking 60 quid for like, just here's an antibiotic.
Here's what you need to do, pal.
Yeah. Well, what do I need to do?
You want to go to webdoctor.ie.
Okay. Right?
25 quid for a virtual appointment. You don't even have to leave your chair. You just tell them what the problem is and they can send the prescription to whatever pharmacy you tell them.
Really?
Yeah.
So I can just say, I need an antibiotic.
You can give the symptoms and all that, or maybe say what you want. I don't know really how it works, but I've done it a few times when I had ringworm in jiu-jitsu. And because a girl I used to work with.
Quid?
Yeah, a girl I used to work with, her fella started it.
Right.
And yeah, it's kind of, I mean, they don't treat everything, but it's worth looking at if you don't want to. Like, sometimes you can get an appointment that day, like, 4 o'clock, they have a free space. And it's a proper, registered doctor, you know, Irish doctor and all this sort of stuff.
I mean, that 35 quid.
Huh?
I could have bought myself.
Switch game.
What?
Switch game,
yeah. Or, you know, speaking of games, I bought a game for my
PS4. Oh, for your PS4? What'd you get?
I bought Alan Wake Remastered.
Oh, yes.
Now, Andy, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me it was all about ghouls and goblins and stuff. I don't know, I thought it was like a murder mystery, his wife's gone missing type job.
But I kind of thought it was that, though.
It is that, but it's also like a Stephen
goblins,
King
ghouls maybe.
Yeah, it's also a Stephen King book, like, yeah. Flash the light on this person.
I like the flashlight element of it now. I like that. It's different.
Look,
it's like a movie. Faye will enjoy watching that one.
I'm a chapter into it. It's okay.
Wait until Faye is available, I would say, and then play it in front of her. She'll like that one.
She won't like that one.
She'll just be telling you how terrible you are.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, eat the fly.
How much was it out of interest, if you don't mind me asking?
40 quid? 35
quid?
Okay,
that's pretty good.
Like, you know, not too bad. I'm not in love with it. Well, maybe I'll get there.
Give it time. Although, I mean, it was, 2010 or something when I played it.
I mean, It's a bit all over the place.
Like, sounds like you don't like the game at all, to be honest.
I'm giving, you know what I do like about it?
Yeah.
They use In Dreams by Roy Orbison.
Hey.
As like the theme song. And you know, that's my song.
Close my eyes and I drift away. I started too low.
Into the magic land.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone.
Not a Roy Orbison song.
He'll be singing for hours.
I looked at our playlist. I try and think of like which artist we have the most of. I think he's top of the pops.
Is he up there, is he? In our shared playlist?
Yeah, in our shared one.
Wow. Excellent.
Five of his. Willie Nelson is like three or four.
Are they all you?
Not all the Roy Orbison is me. I think all the Willie Nelson is me. Yeah.
Okay. You kind of broke through to me with Willie Nelson by putting that Blue Skies song.
Hey.
Because I hadn't really, like, I knew, like, I always liked You Were Always On My Mind, like the big ones, you know, those sort of ones that he wrote. But, yeah, this one, I was like, oh, I actually really like this. Not like,
that's
oh,
late.
I can
that's
see
late
why
late
people.
Well,
I really need to find what's
on the road again is the one.
Is
know,
that the big one?
On the road again.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, like.
But I'd love to know like what era, what album should I start?
That's probably the. That's like whatever. Yeah. My dad used to have that album.
I can't wait to get on the road again. Great.
So like that would be the one to. I'd say that's the most popular.
That's what
one.
I'll do.
But
I tried
to
get
country
into...
and western, like each country and western artist probably has like 60 albums. You know what I mean?
I know,
like,
two a year for the last 50 years.
And we're supposed to, yeah. It's not like, oh, here's Rubber Soul. Like this is when they change. It's like, which one of this? Okay, yeah.
Lately I've been trying to get into artists specifically, like. Because of the Darjeeling Limited, I was like, I'm going to listen to more of the Kinks. And I went down a bit of a Kinks rabbit hole. And it's...
I'll tell you the Kinks album. I'll tell you the
We
Kinks
Are the Village
album.
Green Preservation it's, Society.
That's... Village Green Preservation Society is their best album. Mm. And I fucking love it. Like, if you listen,
I do remember liking that one. I think you...
the whole thing. It's so many good songs on it. Like.
So, like, that was... I was trying to get into... Like, trying to get into the Kinks... They haven't quite broken through to me. Like they, I know that they're good, but they're just, they don't have that it that I'm looking for. You know what I mean?
It's weird because
they
like,
seem, no offense, but they seem very English. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but like
it is
super
it is.
Union Jack Englishy sort of lyrics and
well, if you think
London
of like
accents,
Quadrophenia and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like they're
but
like
the Who are probably the Union Jack rock band, but you know. But I don't really like The Who either. Not because of the English thing, guys. All right? I'm just gonna say that now. How do we start talking about this?
If you're trying to get yourself cancelled, press one.
Hey,
which it, oh, yeah. I've been watching some stuff, though.
Go on.
I've been sick.
Go on. Here we go, well, everyone.
Faye has been watching this show on Netflix. And I've dropped in and out on it. But this season... I watched most of the episodes. It's a little show called Top Boy. Have you heard of it?
Heard of it, yes.
Andy, this is a good fucking show, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, very good.
What's it about?
It's about gangs.
Top Boy?
Yeah.
What
but
kind
it's
kinda, of gangs?
I keep making the joke. I was like, who is Top Boy this year? It's about drug dealer gangs in London.
Top Boy.
And I'm like, is he the Top Boy? Is Duchesne the Top Boy? Or Sully, is he the Top Boy?
It does look like
it's
the sort of thing
good.
That I would like.
It's got, did you like Call of Duty or Line of Duty, whatever that show is?
Didn't see it.
No?
Just through Gogglebox.
I'm trying to think of... It's an 8 episode, this year's 8 episodes, and I don't know, like, it makes me want to go back and watch the first 3. That was season 4.
Right.
So I want to watch the first 3, I think, now.
What's it on? It's on Netflix?
Netflix. It's on Netflix,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Can't go wrong. Very good show, I have to say. So
I won't be so hesitant to skip next time.
Well...
I have to be in the mood for it, though. It looks a bit gritty.
It's a crime drama, you know what I mean? But if you like a crime drama...
You know,
you
I do.
You do find it, don't you?
I find it very hard to sell Kerry on any... Cop drama related shows.
See, it's not it's very little cops in it.
Is there?
Though.
Okay.
It's all about the lads that have stole the ting in it, bruv.
Right.
Bring the food, yeah?
In it.
Yeah, bring the food. How many pack? How many peas, man? Yeah?
It's like yeah, drug lingo, is it?
Speak less, yeah? I don't know. I'm picking this up as I go as well. Like, I'm like speak less is like goodbye, in
football factory.
I think.
Football factory where he's like, yeah, bring the boys around. I'll get the tools. Like, that means weapons.
All that. Football
seems
factory.
Football factory. Now,
like, when I was that like age, I was like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever. And now I'm like, oh, what a load of shite.
I kind of think, what's that director's name? Nick Love. I think he's a bit of a...
Yeah.
Not a great director.
I mean...
The business I loved at the time. I loved at the time.
But like, we were so like...
Stupid.
Young and, yeah. And stupid. Like...
Yeah.
I mean, what Danny else? Dyer's like, oh, he's dead, isn't he? He's like, no,
yeah.
He's terrible.
Hmm. He's great now, though.
Is he?
He's famous. Yeah. He seems way more likable now. There was something, someone was saying something about his daughter and...
Wasn't she on like Love Island or something?
Yeah, and they were saying something about her and he was like, just stop talking. Like, he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Like, just shut your mouth. Whatever it was, this interview.
Do you reckon he's an actual hard man? Or do you reckon he just... Because he's played a hard man on TV for so long, he actually thinks he's a hard man now. Like
the weird thing is like, he hasn't really been playing hard men as well. Like, he's got this... He had the show, Danny Dyer's Hard Men. But like,
no, but like, in his career, in early on in his career, he played...
I always thought he played a bit more of a weaselly sort of character.
But he was... Yeah, he was...
He was in all those movies,
like,
though.
He was the thug that was like, I gotta get out of this game.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the kind of, even though I'm still gonna stamp on your head or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like doing this.
It just seemed so
not
cool.
Not like that crazy one over there, the guy who's, you know.
Yeah. In everyone, like the loose cannon guy.
Yeah.
Who likes him, but then turns on him.
I'm not like him. Speaking of British actors, who, this guy is believably a hard man.
Oh,
Stephen Graham.
Oh, yeah. The hardest as they come.
Is he?
Yeah, I love Stephen Graham.
Have you seen
This Is England?
I haven't, actually.
Pretty hard, pretty gruesome in that.
Yeah, I'd say. I remember seeing him in it and I was like, oof.
Scary. It was scary.
Scary. Like,
it was scary stuff.
That's why I don't think I wanted. I didn't watch it. I was like, this guy's scary looking. Also a bit grim. But I watched a movie with him in it on Netflix as well. 90 minutes, Andy.
Okay.
It's called Boiling Point. I'm sure it's popping up all over your feed, no?
I think I've seen his mug around.
It's a one-shot movie. One of those ones.
Well, now I'm interested.
It's set over the course of an evening in a restaurant.
Wow.
He's like the head chef in it.
Oh, I see stills of him yelling. Is he like a Gordon Ramsay type?
Kind of, but he's also a bit more of a fuck up. Like, you know,
right.
He's a really good chef, but there seems to be all this shit going on in his personal life. It's really good.
You had me at the one
Stephen
shot
Graham.
Thing.
Okay.
And Stephen Graham. But the one shot thing. I'm definitely going to watch that.
It's really good. It's really good.
All right.
Like, I had a very good time watching it, I have to say.
Excellent.
Because it does such a good job of like, oh, he's more than a one-dimensional character. And then all the other people, well, not all of them, but a good amount of the other featured characters in it. You're like, oh, there's more to them than that. Like, you know, it gives everybody a little bit of time without,
right.
And because it's set in real time.
That's what I like about it. I don't know why that really appeals to me.
Have you been watching it?
The only thing that I've been watching lately, this is where I'm at. I've been just watching YouTube, of course. I've just been watching people walking through different cities in Japan. That's what I have on the TV at the minute. I don't really want to watch that. I've been watching a bit of Sky Sports, of course, with my great new package deal. But I just find it very relaxing to watch people walk through. Have you ever seen any of these videos?
No. What?
It's like an hour to 2 hours of someone... Just not. I don't watch it all at once, but the videos themselves are like an hour to 2 hours long of like someone just walking through Japanese towns and alleys and.
And why are they narrating it? No,
they're just walking. It's just relaxing.
Okay.
So that's what I've been watching, Terry.
Great.
But, because, yeah, I'm not, like, here's why I think. I get enough of that from the podcast. That's my
one
work.
One thing a week.
That's my work, having to watch. No, it's not one thing a week. It's usually two, and it's usually something. It's not just one thing. It'd be 2 hours 20 things.
It's just one thing that got me tripping. It's just one thing.
What was that? Hold on. Who is it?
A. Marie, of course.
Who?
A. Marie? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One thing.
Good reference.
Hey, man.
Good song.
Yeah, good song. I don't know. Maybe died. I can't remember.
No, you might be thinking of...
Aaliyah. I know Aaliyah died, yeah. I know she died.
Okay, just want to be clear on that.
Yeah.
But
A-Marie's career died, at least, then.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She's never heard of again. But yes. I think she might be dead as well. I'm talking way too flippantly about this.
I know. She'll be dead too. Yeah. In the ground.
Hey, I have one more thing I want to talk about before we get into the movie. How do you feel about Sam Raimi, the director? Evil Dead 2? Did those Spider-Man movies?
I don't have any necessary affinity.
Never seen Evil Dead, no?
I think you probably have seen Evil Dead. I think I did, the original.
The original's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
The tree scene with the lady outside, remember that? Oh,
maybe, no, I don't think so.
Tree rapes a lady?
Oh, jeez. I'd love to do that, don't they?
Well, this is the first one. This is the thing, and it was like banned in. I don't know if over here it was banned in the UK. It's one of those video nasties. But I've been watching a few of his other ones.
Yeah,
because he's doing the new Doctor Strange movie,
right?
And it's his like first movie in like 10 years, maybe.
What do you think of him?
I like him. I like his. I think Spider-Man is the first two Spider-Man movies are like. Probably the two best comic book movies ever. Two of the best ones.
The first two? Tobey Maguire ones?
Tobey Maguire ones. Like, yeah.
Okay. Big words. Big talk there.
We'll get to them in a series, I'm sure, down the line. But I've been watching some of the ones that of his that I haven't seen. Because I'm
sick. Go on.
I watched a little movie called Darkman. In 1990, right. Starring Liam Neeson.
Wow.
As the titular Darkman. care to guess what Darkman's powers are?
Darkman. No.
Okay, here's the plot for you. And tell me you don't love this. And it's 96 minutes. Okay.
Everything's a pitch with you.
Tell me you don't love this idea for a movie. So Liam Neeson is a scientist who's trying to grow synthetic skin. So you take a picture of your face, right?
Right.
And he's trying to grow the skin. And he gets it to a point that it can last for 99 minutes, but then it disintegrates.
Right.
And then there's some sort of flim-flam with his girlfriend, and she uncovers a bit of a conspiracy. Whatever. But she leaves the memo that, like, she has uncovered in their apartment where he has his lab, and then a bunch of gangsters break in and kill his assistant, and basically they like mutilate him beyond recognition,
right?
In so much that like his apartment explodes, he's declared dead, he winds up in a river burnt to a crisp, and some woman gives him like a experimental skin graft, but because the pain for the skin would be too much, they sever the nerves to his pain receptors. So one, he can't feel pain.
Right.
But because he can't feel pain, the emotions, this is fucking great, the emotions, he can't regulate his emotions because he can't feel pain. You know,
so he
like
feels no like remorse when he kills someone?
No,
or
but
something?
His anger is like, he's very quick to anger and, right. You know. But also, for some reason, he has superhuman strength as well.
Okay.
But like he is also, but he's disfigured.
Why haven't I heard more about this?
It's fucking, I don't know. This is a brilliant idea, isn't this? A great fucking picture movie. So then his whole thing is like he holds up in an abandoned warehouse in the city and he's trying to like get his machine working again so he can go back and be with his girlfriend.
Right.
But also take revenge on the criminals.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also there's also like a load of like Phantom of the Opera stuff because he's like I'm a monster,
right?
Or like at points like he's able to create his mask, and he's like I'm back, Julie, I'm back, hello, and she's like where you were dead and all this, where have you been? And he's like oh I can't tell you, Julie, I've been in the hospital, but then he'll be out on a date with her, but he has to leave before 99 minutes before his face starts melting and all. Oh.
How do they fit all this in 90 minutes?
It's fucking dead. I don't know. It's good direction, man.
But I looked at the picture.
That real kind of like old-fashioned TV radio serial style of like... Like Batman, like Tim Burton's Batman. It's very in that same vein of like huge pulpy tones or whatever. I was like... I don't like at the start. I was like, I don't know if this is good or bad. And then, like, as soon as I was like, you know what, I'm clicked into what it is. I'm not expecting any realism. Like, these MCU movies, you know,
that's probably where I go wrong. I should try and make that decision of like, I'm going to watch this.
No, but like,
and sometimes I do, but I'm like, no, you know what, I'm here now. I'm just gonna. Settle in, you know, I'll be in this world.
It'd be very easy to be like, well, that's stupid, like, you know, but like in this, you're like, no, just fucking go with it. And like, once you're like on board of it being like this kind of pulpy, weird thing, you're like, wow, this is fucking deadly. Like, like all these weird camera movements, and like at one point, like his bandages are coming off, and you're like, oh, like he's completely like the, like that kind of Evil Dead gonzo fucking weird makeup, like. Very good, man. I liked it.
I just had a look at Sam Raimi.
Yeah, do you like him?
He doesn't look like I expected.
No, he wear, apparently, here's something I learned. Because my beloved Blank Check are covering him.
Right.
That's why I've been doing a bit of watching. Apparently, he wears a suit on set every day he's filming. Because he says you need to respect the art of filmmaking. He doesn't make everybody do it, but it was just for himself. He feels like he needs to honor, take it professionally, you know, like take it seriously.
He'd wear a beret and speak out of one of those cardboard megaphones if he took the position seriously.
Like Mr. Burns, like
I don't think suits when I think of movie making.
I do. Literally,
the movie suits making,
the,
though.
The suits in the office are funding this thing.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, I'm enjoying his stuff, I gotta say.
Okay.
I kind of forgot, like, his even like I watched, I don't know if you probably haven't seen A Simple Plan.
Definitely not.
It's more, this is like a real, like, down the middle crime thing where, you know, these three guys find a bunch of money and it's like, who's the money belong to, or like they're supposed to divvy it up between the three of them, you know, all the you know,
yeah,
things take a wrong turn fairly short quickly. But I was like, oh, it's very not like Sam Raimi, until there's a scene where like somebody's shooting a shotgun and a woman gets shot with a shotgun and is like blasted like 10 feet into the air against the, like the kitchen shells and everything falls down. I was like, oh, there's Sam Raimi, there's Evil Dead right there. Like, you've been restraining yourself for an hour in this movie playing it straight down the middle, but there he is.
I'm looking through as you're talking here. I thought, what'll happen if I type Sam Raimi controversy just to see what he's been up to, but he's clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
He's clean.
A little too clean, if you ask me.
One of the few, suspiciously clean.
See, him and the Coens came up together. Him and the Coens are kind of very good friends. No?
Okay.
But they're good filmmakers. Give it time.
Yeah. Give it time with all of them.
Hey, see Will Smith? 10 years.
What?
He got banned for 10 years.
From the Academy
Awards? From attending the Oscars, yeah. He can still win them, apparently.
All right. I mean,
imagine he won next year.
That resignation was from the academy or whatever. It was clearly like, it was one of those like,
jump before you're pushed. Like,
yes, exactly. Like, we're going to let you go, but this will help you save face a bit. Like, you know, it was a definite thing. I just can't. And
is
then that video that you tagged me in.
Is he in rehab now or something?
Is he?
I think so. I saw that today.
I am obsessed with this whole
My interest has very much died down now. I honestly think
until you sent me that video of Jada pushing him to talk and he didn't want to talk on her Instagram and he just looked so broken. And I was just like, oh, now I like him again.
The thing I found very interesting was I don't like him again after that video. He's like,
I just feel
my social media is my bread and butter. It's like, you were the biggest move. What happened to you? Like, imagine Tom Cruise turning around and being like, my social media is my bread and butter.
My social media is my bread and butter.
That's pretty good.
I thought you were all right, too. Yeah. I thought you were pretty good, too.
Thanks, man.
You're a jerk. I'm giving you an interview.
Why would you do that?
Let me tell you, this is not related to movies at all. I went swimming.
2 minutes. Oh, okay.
I went swimming today, and I went swimming with Johnny.
The sea?
No, in the pool. And like, it was kind of busy or whatever, and like, she had had a bit of a breakfast close to going swimming. And then when we were swimming, like, she swallowed water wrong or something. She swallowed a bit of water or something, and she started coughing. And then she just started getting, like, she got sick.
Vomiting in the pool?
Like, the first bit, without trying to be too graphic, like, the first bit came up, I was like, oh, there's a little bit there. Oh, okay, I get that. And then the next bit came, I was like, okay, emergency. And, like, I held her, like, she was, so she's locked into me, and I had my hand sort of cupping everything.
Lovely.
And I was just waddling to the side of the pool, like, let's just get out for a sec or whatever. And I was just like, amazingly, no one, like, the lifeguard was right there. Amazingly, no one seemed to notice, but
you
contaminated
the whole pool.
I know. Now I caught most of it, but it was absolutely disgusting.
How young did Joni start learning to swim? Because I brought Bonnie for her first lesson yesterday.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was tremendous fun. Yeah, she loved it. I don't know how she got it into her head. But at certain points, we'd just be waking up and she'd be like, I want to go to the swimming pool. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Now, this is another thing I have to go book, isn't it? That's for, I mean, it's
did
for
you
the
book
best.
It? Yes.
Yeah, I got a book. Fucking. Let me tell you how much I have to drop on that. Let me tell you. Because they don't do it by session. It's you gotta do it in a block.
You've got to be in for the whole time.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
She does actually want lessons. I've just been kind of teaching her a bit myself, maybe since like 4.
Okay.
So like probably later obviously than Bonnie, but like, yeah, like it's been great because she wouldn't even put her face in the water when we started going. It's just like 10 doors down.
Right.
Everything
is 10 doors down from you.
I know.
What's going on in this town? What's going on in there?
Everything I need in this nice little mile radius bubble. But yeah, it was great. It's sort of great to see because like when we first started, like she wouldn't even put her face in. And then just one time, when we got goggles, she just dunked her head in. And it was one of these like, she popped her head up and she looked at me and I looked at her.
I did it.
Like, ah! Yeah. And then after that, now she's jumping in and all this. Like, so it's nice to see.
It's great.
Getting sick in public pools, you know, that sort of thing. Real emergency sort of thing, but I'm not great in those situations.
Hope she's okay anyway.
She's fine. Afterwards, she's like, I did not have fun.
Thanks for nothing, old man.
Glad I booked it.
Yeah.
Listen, on that note, Terry, can we talk about the movie?
Please.
I think we have a chance to make this kind of a life-changing experience, and I think we need it.
I want us to become brothers again like we used to be.
You're the two most important people in the world to me.
This is incredible!
Why haven't we spoken in a year?
Because we don't trust each other.
Is that my belt? Can I borrow it?
I want us to be completely open and say yes to everything, even if it's shocking and painful.
You have any questions?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
What happened to your face?
Tomorrow, what will we know? Will we know. I guess the train's lost.
What'd he say?
He says the train's lost.
How can a train be lost? It's on rails.
That was the trailer for Darjeeling Limited, written by Wes Anderson, Jason Schwartzman, and Roman Coppola. Directed by Wes Anderson.
I notice you say you do a hard S when you say his name. Now, I know that the H that you put in Wes is for comedic purposes.
Of course.
I also hear you say Wes and not Wes with like Z sound. Do you know because I think whenever I hear people talking, I also hear Wes.
I think it is Wes.
A harsh S.
I think Wes is lazy.
You I would have always thought Wes. Can't even purse your lips enough to say the proper
whatever,
words.
Man.
Okay, sorry to derail you there.
No, it's okay. I'd say it's directed by Wes Anderson as well. It was his fifth film. Care to take a stab at the budget, Cindy?
Is it possible that you can remind me what the budget was for
Life Aquatic?
Life Aquatic, yeah.
Sure. Gotta go back a ways.
If you have it handy.
I do. Budget for Life Aquatic was $50 million.
$50 million, right.
And it made $34 million back.
I will say that Darjeeling Limited was shot for $32 million.
$17.5 million.
Well, they really slashed his budget, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wow, $17.5 million.
I'd say he probably scaled it back as well.
Right,
TBH,
right.
Opening weekend.
Opening, and you're not going to hit me with it. Well,
no, this, and I will say this was the movie of his that opened to fewest theatres.
Fewest theatres?
Like in terms of...
Like a mainstream release, but fewest theatres.
Like, of all the movies that have his... that bar Bottle Rocket, of all the movies that have been released by him so far, this one was released to the fewest theatres.
Right, okay.
So...
I will say opening weekend, domestic, $7 million.
I thought you were right. 790,000 was the opening.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Domestic total?
Domestic total, 7 million.
You're with it. You're just within the 5. 11.9 million. Worldwide?
23.
35.
Okay,
so it
doubled his budget.
Would that be,
is it only classed as a hit in relation to the budget?
Yeah, I mean, right. In relation to the budget. Like, if this grossed 100 million, we're like, wow, what a fucking...
Yeah.
What we call a 10Xer, if it's made for 10 million and it grosses 100 million.
What do you mean we?
In the biz, Andy.
Okay, sorry. You in the biz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Us. Me and you. We talk about movies.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay.
This is our business. Remember?
Okay, Terry.
Care for some fun facts?
Please.
Wes Anderson had the idea for this script just before they started filming Life Aquatic. And the idea he had was about three brothers traveling on a train but had no idea where it would be set. Martin Scorsese invited him to a restoration of Jean Renoir's The River, which is a film about three young Indian women, their growing pains, and set around the river Bengal in India. And once he left the screening of that, he decided, India is where we're going to be traveling in my next screenplay.
Okay.
So you can thank Marty for this movie.
Marty. The old dog.
Wes Anderson, Jason Schwartzman, and Roman Coppola traveled around India to write the script. So,
is Roman Coppola any relation to Francis Ford?
Yes, sir.
And Sophia?
Yes. I don't know what.
To a lesser extent.
I don't know what. Like, Nick Cage is, you know, Francis Ford Coppola's nephew, so.
What's going on?
Jason Schwartzman is his cousin. So I guess Schwartzman and Coppola are probably. Let me see here.
Weird.
Not really.
Okay, that's weird. By the way, my chair is squeaky. In case the mic's picking that up.
Roman Coppola. Let's see.
Son.
Cousin. Okay, of actor Nicolas Cage and filmmakers Sofia Coppola, Roman Coppola, Christopher Coppola.
Nicolas Cage. I thought you said Nick Cave.
Nick Cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's even better.
Yeah, they all come from the family matriarch Italia Coppola.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very talented family.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So yeah, they traveled around India and wrote the script, stopping at places to write. And then when they filmed, they returned to the places where they had written the scenes to film them on location. So like the inspiration for a lot of the places in this film is where they shot.
Right. If you get Yeah.
So like where the train breaks down, that's where they were. They wrote that scene around there or whatever.
Right. So but like did their
I don't know if their train broke down.
Right.
He described it as we were riding the journey as we went along it and then we returned to go over it again almost.
Right, yeah, okay.
Which is very interesting. Process. Yeah, absolutely. A nice way to write a movie. Like,
yeah, must have been great crack.
All the gestures by the actors in the film are improvised. Anderson says he likes to have the script down to a T, but for the actors to have a certain amount of freedom to bring whatever they want to the table. So, you know, when they're taking their drinks or whatever like that, like messing with the belts and stuff like that, like kind of was like, you guys bring your Owen Wilson-ness or your Adrian Brody-ness to it, but like make sure you're saying the lines
right. Okay,
like, but like anything else he was allowing them to improvise.
Right, interesting.
I
get the impression, like, do you know, is he one of these guys who likes to do scene, is he, he's in the one that you said likes to do them again and again and
Fincher.
Again.
That's Fincher, yeah. Where it's like, but you're like, gonna break think, you break you of get, your bad habits.
I get the impression that actors really like working with Wes Anderson as a director. I mean, is that fair?
It seems that way. I mean, Bill Murray, you know, has come back.
Got like, Bill Murray, like.
Like, Bill Murray is in this film for 3 minutes. Like, he flew to India to be in this movie. And then he said he hung around India for a month afterwards.
Cool.
So, but, like, he probably would never have done that if it wasn't Wes Anderson. Like, he's not going to...
Yeah.
Do that for anybody else. So
he's not going to answer that 1-800 number for anyone.
Exactly. So the idea that like, and you see, so say like we had Willem Dafoe in Life Aquatic. He's back in Fantastic Mr. Fox. He's back in He's in Grand Budapest. Don't know if he's in Isle of Dogs. He's in French Dispatch. Like, these people, like, keep...
Yeah, they keep
orbiting
back
to him, like, you know?
Yeah, interesting.
So, he, you know, he seems to be that kind of guy that, like...
I do like his demeanor. I've seen him in interviews and stuff, and he seems like a nice guy. Like,
he seems
easy
to have
work
such
with.
A big love of cinema, but not in a, like, obnoxious way.
I don't get... and it'd be very easy to think of him as being pretentious
obnoxious,
because
pretentious,
of his movies.
Yeah.
But I don't get that vibe from him.
Oh, he seems like a cool guy. Yeah. Like,
any other buff?
Yeah, I got a couple more. All of the scenes on the train were shot on a real train.
Okay.
He said it was very limiting space-wise, but he said it was important that it felt real.
Yeah.
So because he, you know, he'd done it, say, on sets and stuff before.
Yeah.
But he said for this claustrophobic cramped space he wanted it to feel and it's very impressive, like thinking back on it. Like,
do you know where the train's moving?
Yeah, like when, because he said if the actors had never taken a train journey before, well, while filming this movie they essentially have
they
now
did.
Like, you know,
right, interesting.
And the last little nugget I had was the three brothers are named Francis, Peter and Jack.
Uh-huh.
They're named after Francis Ford Coppola, Peter Bogdanovich, and Jack Nicholson.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How random.
Is it?
And I hate saying the word random, particularly how random.
Yeah. What are you like?
How random.
2000s.
I know.
Teenage Look, girl.
I called it. I heard it and I called it. Okay, guys? You don't expect that shit here.
You get points. You get points for that.
Thank you. And thank you for compiling that, Buff, Terry. I noticed it wasn't straight out of the book. I see
it was all from the book. I didn't bring the book with me.
Yeah, but you have it. Yeah, but you had it written out.
I transcribe it. It was effort. Every week I transcribe it. I show my work.
I ordered in. Still effort. Yes.
I'm excited to know what you thought of this movie, Andy. Just me and you. It's just me and you this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. This movie. Well. The last thing I'd want to do is just to go on and on before actually getting to the point. No, I thought it's similar to the other ones. It looked great, sounded great. The movie I didn't think was that great.
This one,
you know what I mean?
I'm with you on this one. That it's
right.
Style over substance for me this time.
Yeah,
around. This is what it was last time as well for me.
With Life Aquatic.
No, with Last Watch on this, I was like,
right.
I don't really care for it. You know, there's bits I forgot in it, obviously, but there was no bit for me that like burst through.
Gotcha. Didn't bring you to tears.
No, there was one bit that was close to it.
Wow.
But it wasn't even that close. You know what I mean?
I couldn't give you 20 guesses as to what that could be.
You really? Know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe we'll get to it. I'll remember it when we get to it. Because I did watch it about 2 weeks ago. Mm. Or was it? No. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe a week and a half.
We recorded last Thursday. So we recorded,
I think,
10 days ago. So it's, you know.
I feel like I watched it so long ago. Okay.
Been well. So long. Keep it going. Wait,
these early 2000s R&B references.
Who's that?
Mystical?
Yeah.
There we go. I think I loved the backdrop to this more than I have any other one. I loved the Indian backdrop. It seemed very authentic. Like, it didn't have enough going on. It didn't have enough comedy or drama or plot. It didn't have enough of it. You know what I mean? And it was just, and I remember, because I remember this is one of the few that I had seen previously. And I remember liking it. I didn't remember a thing from it. But I think what that was more the soundtrack, and I just said I liked the movie.
Good soundtrack. It's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, because this would have been in my, 2007 it came out?
Yes.
So I would have been 22 when it came out. I definitely pretended to like it more than I did. I did that a lot back then. But the soundtrack really...
Like one of the most affecting moments in the movie, I think, and just in terms of like, and again, it's a more of a style thing than a substance thing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the whole start with Bill Murray, and he's like, you know, he's like, "That's my train."
Yeah.
And like he's like running to get there, and then it's slow motion. It's like, boom, down, the down, down.
Yeah.
You
know, like, and it's the Kinks, great,
you
know,
like, and like you just like Adrian Brody like outpacing him.
Yeah,
and like
straight away, like even when I seen that, I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna really be into this."
Tomorrow. But I was like, "Ooh, I was like, okay, brilliant."
Yeah,
here we go, and then it was like, the air is let out of the balloon.
It was a little bit, and I remember specifically listening to the soundtrack quite a lot because I had loads of Indian songs, and this is when I first started listening to the Beatles, like around 1920. So, like. I really liked the Indian stuff that I'd heard so far. I liked Ravi Shankar and all that sort of stuff. So when I heard this album, I was like, oh, great. And it had like Rolling Stones and Kinks. I was like, oh, perfect. So I remember like all through this film, I was like, oh, I haven't heard that song. Like Champs-Élysées and Where Do You Go To? And like all these sort of ones. Like I remember having these on my Zen or whatever it was when I was, whatever, in my early 20s. So the soundtrack really was like, oh, like every song I kind of recognized. So that was nice. But yeah, just... didn't have enough and I wanted to like it.
There's something about the screenplay that you're like, you're not letting me in. I felt like the whole thing, you start with Adrian Brody, who's not a very,
I think he was miscast, sorry to interrupt you, I think
so too. I was thinking that when I was watching it, I'm like, because I like him, when he's I don't want to say when he's good, but like I think he can be.
Put Luke Wilson in that role.
Yeah,
he,
like,
you know what I mean? All of a sudden, I think you've got a different movie. You think you've got a different...
like...
He'd give you more
He brings me in.
Yeah. And like, you can't help but get sucked in.
Because Owen Wilson in this is playing the kind of weird control freak character. And, like, it's intentional that he's not letting you in. And
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. And Jason Schwartzman, I tell you, when he looked up... You know, he's, like, asleep in his carriage.
Yeah.
And he does, like, a little smile when he looks up. And I was like, oh, there's Tom Cruise. Like, he does a little, like, smile. And like, oh, there's the... Because we talked about it on Rushmore.
Rushmore. He did look like Tom Cruise in Rushmore.
At a certain point. And like, yeah. In this point, I was like, oh, that's a fucking Tom Cruise smile there. Like,
it's that perfectly, like...
It's the nose. I don't know.
It's the nose. It's like a perfectly curved nose or something. Like, it's straight until it's... And then it's like a perfect circle.
Straight until it ain't.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't stick out. Anyway,
I don't know. The three of them together are like kind of annoying.
Yeah.
You know, like there's nobody there. It kind of seems like Adrian Brody is... He's supposed to be our entry point. Mm. That's not working.
Yeah. I think he was possibly... Thinking about it now, I would have loved to have seen Luke Wilson in that role.
I think because
Luke
right.
Wilson that can puppy do dog, that quiet.
Like,
yeah.
You know?
At least you're kind of rooting. It would give me, would make me like him and the group more. Because
yeah.
All of a sudden you're looking at the Wilson brothers and Jason Schwartzman, who's, you know, fine, but you're looking at the Wilson brothers mainly. And like in India. And I just think, yeah, I would have been a lot more sucked in then.
And like you say, there's not a huge amount of plot. They're, you know, they're here because their brother Francis organized this trip or whatever. Excuse me, you might have to be doing a lot of editing this week.
I will. No worries.
But like his thing is that he's going to like secretly bring them to see their mom who they haven't seen, and the dad has been dead for a year. Okay, yeah. But like...
I'm too far away. Already, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I they couldn't... I it's weird. I can't put my finger on why.
Yeah.
You know, why I'm at arm's length. I just am. Like, and it's like, okay... The three main characters aren't very accessible. Yes, but like, even then I'd be like, ooh, but like, even with the filmmaking style and all that, like, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
I still wasn't like...
I was kind of like, where's my anchor? Where's my rock in this? You know what I mean? Where,
yeah.
Like, everything, I'm just... But like, I didn't know if this was just me or if this was like this movie, because I thought that...
And a lot of people...
Rightly or wrongly... But I thought that rightly or wrongly for a few of the previous ones where I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm looking at it, like I said, like Bar Life Aquatic, where I was like, I don't feel like I'm in here. I'm not.
This one
willing.
This one is the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because it has the least, I don't know if it's just the combination of these three guys who wrote it.
Yeah.
But it has the least amount of heart.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing as well that like, Owen Wilson's character has had a motorcycle accident, and then you find out at the end, like, he tried to commit suicide.
Mm.
It's just around the time as well that, like, he...
Was that around then?
I think so. I think it's, like, that time was, like, 2006, 2007, maybe?
Wow, I thought it was actually fairly recently.
No. It's a good while ago.
Oh, was it? Yeah, 2007.
Yeah, so, you know, it's weird.
Wow, was that year, like?
Yeah, weird parallels in that.
Oh.
Also, I just, like describe what happens on the train. Like, they go a place, they go to a temple, they kind of bicker a little bit, like, they buy some stuff, get back on the train with a snake.
Yeah, like...
There's the whole thing with the feathers, and, like, that wasn't working for me, like, that... you know.
A lot of it, it just fell kind of flat. Like, I actually liked the dynamic of Owen Wilson trying to rally the troops and plan things, but they didn't really want him to plan the things. Like, I kind of thought that was kind of funny. Premise was funny. Like,
I like the idea of that too, but I need something to balance it. And like, Jason Schwartzman is kind of a little bit of a...
He's practically watching the movie with us.
Kind of. Like, you know, I wrote this book. He kept saying, you know, that's his thing. And he has a girlfriend or whatever. And then...
The licking of his hand. You knacker.
Oh, yeah.
You knacker. I was watching like...
That's pretty good, though. I give him points for that. Like,
he's got game. But, yeah.
But, like, I think the big... Like you're saying, the Adrian Brody-ness of it, like... Like,
I think
Adrian Brody is in Grand Budapest and he is in French Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cast so much better in those two movies than he is in this. Like, he's required to do too much of a heavy lifting. Like, I should be caring that this guy is going through something that, like, he's abandoned his wife 6 weeks before they're about to give birth. And, like, I don't. I'm like, all right, like, you seem like a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck to you.
Yeah, you know, so that was kind of it. And with this movie, like, I have to say, can't say enough good things about the soundtrack and the indie music that they played and the look of it all. Like, some of the scenes in India and all the colours and all this sort of stuff was stunning. Like all those movies, look stunning. Like, bar none. But... Yeah, it was just... I didn't take that many notes, to be honest, with this one, because I didn't really have a lot of things to note. You know what I mean? It was...
The funny thing I found with this, because I thought this was pretty badly reviewed at the time and stuff, and then, like, when I was, like, reading from the book and doing a few other bits, and I was like, a lot of critics were giving it, like, 4 out of 5 stars, and, you know, like I say, it's a modest enough hit, and I'm like... Right. Oh, my narrative on this was that, like, oh, this was the one. This is the
flop.
You know, not the whatever, the lowest ebb or whatever. This is what forced him to go and make Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah,
and kind of because I always I keep referencing, but it's like there's a great article I read on it called "How Mr. Fox Made Wes Anderson Fantastic Again," and like in my head I was like, yeah, that is right because he had a big drop off after Tenenbaums.
Yeah,
like this crater, and then he came back out of it, and like it was just jarring for me to be like, yeah, I agree with the narrative that was in my head and what I'm obviously picking up from somewhere, but then reading the other point of it where it's like, no, this person gave it 4 out of 5, the best movie he's done since Tenenbaums, and it rebounded really well from Life Aquatic, and I was like, huh?
Well, like, I wonder because I wondered if. When I saw it myself back in the day, like, did I actually like it? Is it one of those things like those comedies, those early 2000s comedies that don't seem as funny anymore, but we liked at the time?
But...
Like, I think about that. I try and factor that into my thinking all the time because something that worked in 2007 that doesn't work now, does that mean it just doesn't work, or did it work for that time?
But if you think of this movie now, like, this is not a movie that is like, you know, it's not time stamped. It's not like
obvious quality.
It's not time stamped. Like, this movie could have been made 3 years ago. You probably wouldn't know the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Like
there's a few.
They get kicked off the train.
I think it was funny that they just started quietly throwing stones at the train as it's pulling away. You know,
I thought he was going to hit your one though, like, because she's looking out there, and I'm like, don't throw it at her. The bit where he hits him with the face of the belt.
That was funny. The fight was funny.
Yeah, but like, I was like really impressed with the filmmaking of, like, you know, how the camera is like moving out the door and he runs into the like, that was good. A bit farcical. I kind of like that, but like, I don't know. It should be popping for me more. Yeah. I don't know.
You know,
compared to like, if you look at like set pieces in his movies, I'm using air quotes for set pieces, but like, really, Zissou has the biggest set pieces. You know, he has explosions and, you know, stuff like that. Like, the set pieces in this, like, is that train fight, and then they have, like, the three kids, the three Indian kids.
Well, he had slashed budget, didn't he? He couldn't do the explosions for this one.
He couldn't, but, like, he had a, like, lesser budget for Rushmore, but he has...
What is it? Can I ask you a question? I'd like to know your thoughts on this, because, you know, the way that in this... They have the three boys and they have the accident and one of them dies and that sort of becomes basically the last 30 minutes of the movie or something like that.
Yeah, last half of the movie.
Yeah,
maybe?
Was it? Like, yeah, okay. I was going to say, because it seemed to me like it came a lot later than that. I was going to say, like, what do you think of movies that do that, where it's like something that they haven't been working towards, you know, throughout the movie? And something happens out of the blue, and now the movie's about this. You know what I mean? What do you think of that?
Sometimes it really depends on the movie. Like, is the short, but like sometimes I love it.
Yeah.
Like I watched the movie. Did you ever see Sicario?
No.
Okay, well that's a good movie, and then the sequel is a less good
movie.
Al
Pacino?
No, Sicario is Benicio del Toro. And Josh Brolin and Emily Blunt, and it's about, like, Sicario is like a hitman.
Right.
It's and then the Sicario 2, and it's not directed by the same director. Benicio is back and Josh Brolin is back. It's kind of a little bit, it's not as good. But there's a bit in it where it's like, and spoilers for this movie, but there's a bit in it where, like, Benicio is like left for dead in the desert with like a bag over his head. And it's like he at one point then is like, it stays in him for 10-15 minutes of like him trying to like get his way out of the desert. And I was like, man, I wish they had like chopped off like 40 minutes of this movie, moved that up, and like spent the second half of this movie being like him, like as this kind of like Frankenstein trying to like put himself back together to get revenge, because then it kind of jumps forward in time and he's like, it's a year or two later, and he's sitting, one of the guys, that one of the young fellas that like thought they'd killed him walks into his office and Benicio is there and he's like, let's talk or something like that. I'm like, they skipped over all the good part for me, and I'm like, oh, I would love to see, you know, him do this weird freaky acting, and you know,
so it was like
something like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm on board with something like this. I was like, okay, like the bit that got me in the movie, see, that's the thing, like with this movie,
yeah,
it's, there's no plot really.
That's the thing, there is no plot, you know? And actually there is a bit, there is a bit in this that did make me go you know, like
is when his mind didn't make it.
No, well, like a few minutes later when the dad is just washing the boy, like, and you're just like, oh, like, you know, like you're just going about your day and all of a sudden like these people arrive and tell you that here's your kid, he's dead, and then like 10 minutes later you're just washing his body and sobbing, and I was just like, oh god, like that's horrible.
That was the bit, like the only bit that Brody broke through for me was he's like why did you make it, you know, like, and he just doesn't know what to say. He's holding this like lifeless child in his arms.
It was heavy, like, I don't remember it being that heavy.
I remember that part, and then I was like, oh yeah, and then they kind of hang out there, and then they go and see their mom or something.
That kind of goes nowhere,
but like she just leaves again, and I was like, oh okay. And I guess that's the it's more about like them, like their dad's dead, their mom is absentee, you know, these three, they only have each other and they don't like each other, don't trust each other. And then at the end, you know, they're like, oh, keep the passports. And it's like, oh, they're together. Yeah. This was good. This spiritual journey, whatever they keep talking about, they're going on, was good for them. I get it. You know,
but still,
it's fine. But I'm like,
I think one of the best shots, one of the two,
it's not affecting
enough. The two best shots of the movie for me were the two Kink songs. So the first one, This Time Tomorrow, I also agree, love the start.
Yeah.
And then the Strangers slow-mo. Because what I love about Wes Anderson slow-mos is they're so busy, but they're going so slow that you're not like, oh, it's too jarring, I don't know what's going on. Like, you're looking at every little... There's things in the foreground, there's things in the background going the different direction. Yeah. There's, you know, it just always looks really good.
He's a tremendously talented filmmaker. Like, that's the thing. And, like, people say, like, oh, that's kind of like a stick that people beat him with, is that, like, oh, he doesn't have the heart. And this film, I think, that's at its apex of, like, very talented, but no feeling or heart. And I don't know, maybe it works for other people. I know, I just always remember this. This is not the one people, you know, are rushing to pick to come on and talk about. This is not the one that people talk about when they're talking about Wes Anderson movies.
It's kind of the forgotten one, isn't it? Like,
not even forgotten. It's the, like, the one that, like, we don't talk about that one.
Like, he's great by that one.
You know? Yeah, we don't talk about Darjeeling.
There's a few, like I have to say, like, one of the, if I can pick a positive note from it, what I just loved Owen Wilson's drive to just always unite them, like even when they're fighting,
he's good. I would say, like, he's good,
and like when he's taken off his belt, and like they keep having this back and forth with the belt.
It's for me,
and like he's like, that belt is for me and Jack,
for both of us.
Like, Jack for both to do with it.
Is that from Sweetland?
Yeah, like he's very likable, and you know, but
his thing, if I was to say anybody like that, if you're saying MVP of the movie, not Wes Anderson, like, he'd be the one. He's given the best performance. Like, even the scene where he's cutting the bandages off his head, I was like, that's really good.
He was kind of the only one giving me things, really. Like, he kind of lived and died on him. He just, there wasn't it was too much for him to carry.
It's too much. You've written these three characters, and like, his character is the only one that's really been able to get through.
Like, I feel,
but he's not a very likable character either. I feel, like,
they could have
smushed
Jason Schwartzman and Adrian Brody into one character. There would have been enough out of the both of them.
But, like, I like the idea of having three. You maybe just need to put a bit more, like they keep talking about his girlfriend, and, like, there's this short film called Hotel Chevalier, which is all about Jason Schwartzman's character, that is there, like, Wes Anderson has talked about, like, oh, that being, like, the prologue to the movie. I'm like, the movie's 90 minutes, like, put that 10-15 minutes short at the start then, or something, like, you know. Or put it in the movie so I get a more of an understanding of... Like, Natalie Portman is in this movie for one scene. She's on the train. You know when they have, like, a shot of people on the train? Like, your man is putting the snake in.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill Murray is on the train for some reason. Like, Natalie Portman is one of the passengers on the train. She's in it for one scene. Like, she's in Hotel Chevalier as Jason Schwartzman's girlfriend. But I'm like...
You wouldn't even know.
Like, I wouldn't know that.
She's,
like,
in a lot of just
doing
one
the research.
scenes. Didn't she do that for the Marvel movie as well? Where that scene where she's waking up.
No.
She's waking up or something in a Thor movie. Wasn't it just, she just was...
No, so she was in the first two Thor movies, and then in Avengers Endgame. I don't know if she's even in it. She's in the credits as being in it. But, like, there's footage of her in the movie. I don't think they reshot her. I think they just used something from Thor 2. Like, I don't think they brought her on set for that one day. Like, but she's credited. It's there, like, well, look, it's a jam-packed movie. Natalie Portman is in it. She's 20th build. Look how fucking deadly
we are.
She's
20th.
And we can have Natalie Portman 20th.
Who else we got?
I don't really have
a lot of notes about this one, to be honest with you.
No, like... Angelica Houston, I thought, was quite good, but didn't really give me anything.
She just wasn't in it long enough. Like, you spend the whole movie going to her, and she's only...
They
did
a whole
like 5 minutes, and then...
Where it's... But even the scene, I was like, oh yeah, Play With Fire, like, in my head, the Rolling Stones scene with Play... I'm like, that was a real important scene in the movie, and it was like... they're just, like, looking at each other, and then it's like, okay...
You know, that was a...
It kind of just seemed a bit like, I don't want to use the word pretentious, say but it was Terry. Like, because I don't actually think it's pretentious. But you know what I just feel
that
like
that
scene
was wasted. I thought that was going to be like, oh, cool, they're going to have this real intense moment, you know, because she's all spiritual and stuff. And it kind of like two of them, possibly Brody and Schwartzman, were kind of, no, Schwartzman I think gave a good look, but one or two of them I was like, oh, well, that's, he's kind of just staring blankly, and maybe that's the point. But I was hoping that'd be a bit, you know what I mean?
I needed a bit more emotion. That's the thing. You said it there, like wasted emotion. Like, in all the other movies, there's at least one point where there's tears, there's anger, there's whatever. Like, in this movie, they have their, like, little bickering thing, but it's not, like, a big release. There's no big release. And, like, that's kind of maybe that, like...
just
kind
of chugging along.
You're like, these people aren't human, or, you know, and they're talking about all this stuff.
I wonder, was it like that on purpose, like, Dazed and Confused style, or, like, maybe The Train is, like, an analogy for it, just going along the tracks. Maybe it's that sort of movie, you know, something.
Didn't work for
does
me.
Wes, does for me, Quest personally. Say anything about this movie? Positively or negatively, like, no, have you heard, not necessarily in the book, but just have you heard any feedback on it at all? Like, no. I guess it was a hit, so
it's not, I mean, you know, moderate hit, you know, modest hit, made money, but like, I don't know, I'd never heard him say, oh, that's the one,
you know, I would say, where I was gonna say,
I'd say probably maybe things that, like.
I would say a lot has to do with the fact that Owen Wilson was just coming off, wasn't Wedding Crashers like 2006?
He was very hot property. And the other thing was
Zoolander.
You mean Dupree? Because he was going out with Kate Hudson, and it was when they split. That was when he had
He was so hot. Right
incident.
Then. I think that had a lot to. Handsome. I think that had a lot to do with. This movie, I think his stock was very high at this point.
I hate shitting on a movie, and I feel like we're doing an okay job of not shitting on it, but it just didn't work for me.
Fine.
I'm like,
that's why we're here.
You know, thankfully it's 90 minutes. Feels longer than Steve Zissou. I will say, watching this movie felt longer than watching Life Aquatic, which is half an hour longer.
I didn't get that now myself. I did think it was a bit zippier. But I liked the extra bits in Z. I don't know why that one cut through.
I think my favorite scene in the movie was, and I loved the transition of when they're like strangers bit finishes, and he puts his arm on it, and then they're in the car going to the funeral, and I like just the way it kind of breaks down into a bit of a farce, where it's like there's so much going on in the garage.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's the car there, and you know the other guy's on the Owen Wilson's on the phone. Jason Schwartzman is like looking through stuff, whatever. Like all these different moving parts. It's like, oh yeah, okay.
It was fun.
This is kind of like, this is fun. Yeah. That's the other thing. It wasn't fun. The movie wasn't fun. Like,
it wasn't, like if they give me more scenes like that in the garage.
It wasn't funny either. Like, it wasn't, it was too dry. I don't know.
This is like what I, see, it's so funny to hear you, because this is how I feel about the other ones. This is exactly how you feel about this one is how I feel about most of them so far.
But the other ones are funny. The other ones have jokes
they do.
In it.
The other ones are better.
The other ones, the other ones have like genuine like set up punchlines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or his equivalent of that. There doesn't really seem to be that much.
Can I ask you something? This may be, maybe you want to save this for the end, or maybe we're at the end, I don't know, but
what time are we at here?
I think, we're at an hour. 10.
Yeah. We give people that money.
If you had to rank them, the five so far.
Yes.
I don't think we've been doing it the last couple of weeks. What would you, what's your current ranking for the five? So we're going to pretend like we haven't recorded Fantastic Mr. Fox yet, and just do the other ones.
I understood it. You didn't have to mention.
But that's just
that
between me and you, Smash Tat.
let's see. Well, if you go by my ratings that I've been rating, I think I'd given Tenenbaums 9.5, Rushmore 9, Life Aquatic 8.5, And Bottle Rocket, I think I gave it 7.5.
Okay. And what are you giving this one?
This one here. Right, we'll just we're at ratings then, okay? This one I'm going to give a 6.
Ooh. Scathing, folks. You know what that means? And if you put that into our terms, folks, that's a solid 3 for the rest of us.
F plus click.
I
found this one not unenjoyable, because there are, like you say, there's a lot to take from it, but just I've been on such a high loving these other movies that, like, this one I was like, oh, okay. I remember now. I remember why. I've only watched this film once in my lifetime, whereas I've watched Royal Tenenbaums probably close to 10 times, Rushmore so many times. Like, okay, Life Aquatic, I've watched it 3 or 4 times.
Wow, 3 or 4
This one
times.
I've only ever watched. Well, with this rewatch, I think it's 4. Wow. Like, because I watched the first time I watched it, I was like, huh. And then second time, I like went again. I think we were living in a house in Baldoyle, so it was like a few of us watching it, and it kind of, you're not really getting a proper watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, drinking beers, maybe chatting and stuff. And then I watched it with Faye, because we were kind of going through it, like, oh, let's watch some Wes Anderson stuff. And then this time, that's like 4 times.
I would think
I watch a lot of movies. I would think I love that would to watch be movies, like, Andy.
Jeez, I've already watched it 3 times, and I didn't care for it. And any of those times, if I'm in your position, you know, like Life Aquatic, I wouldn't say you didn't care for it, but it wouldn't have been your favorite.
Like, that's the thing. It's not that I didn't care for it, because, like I say, there was bits in it that I was like, oh yeah, and they were also very much like, I watched Life Aquatic, like I say, if it came out 2004, probably 2005, 2006, then again in 2010, and then again in 20, like, you know, it's like a 5-year gap. You forget
the amount of movies that you watch. Surely something's got to be forgotten in there. Surely it has to.
Nope. I remember it well.
To give it a rating, I mean, I can't remember at all what I've rated any of them, to be honest.
I remember you gave Life Aquatic a 9.
Okay,
remember that? It was above mine.
Life Aquatic could be my number one.
I think you gave the other two like 7.5, and I think you gave Bottle Rocket 6.5.
Okay, I will give Darjeeling a 7.
What?
I feel like every week there's a clip, there's something of you going 7, whether it's good or bad. This time you can't believe I rated it so high as 7.
So hold on,
go on.
You give Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums a 7.5. And you give this one, which you said you did not like, 7. Yeah. And Bottle Rocket, which you're like, oh, I kind of liked, I like more. That's a 6.5.
Yeah. Because I didn't particularly, when it comes to Tenenbaums, Rushmore, Darjeeling, and if I'm being honest, I... Folks, I wish you could see his face.
You can put that clip up on the fucking social media, whatever. Jesus,
if I'm being
Christ,
honest,
Andy.
I think I probably would like to put Rushmore ahead of the Royal Tenenbaums.
That's
even
fine.
Though I gave them
you
both.
Give Rushmore an 8.
I'm going to keep my rankings, but I'm going to just say Life Aquatic top, and then there's a big gap, and then I would go Rushmore, Tenenbaums, Darjeeling, Bottle Rocket. Because you see, this one just seems like I hated it the most because you also hate it. So that's what we were talking about the most. Whereas I didn't care for a lot of the other ones as much, but you and the guest loved it. So I wasn't piping up as much to be as negative as this podcast.
But you need to. You need to pipe. If you don't like it, you got to pipe it.
I pipe it, but I don't know. Once I say my initial piece, I don't want to dwell. I don't want to be that negative, Nancy. I liked elements of all the movies, so I just focus on the bits that I liked. But, like, I wouldn't watch any of these movies again so far, barring Life Aquatic, maybe Rushmore. I definitely won't be watching Tenenbaums again. I won't be watching.
Really?
I won't be watching Darjeeling again, and I won't be watching. See, Bottle Rocket's last because Bottle Rocket didn't give me the visuals, at least. The others gave me the visuals and the soundtrack. So it's like, okay, that's carrying some of the heavy lifting for me. If
what about that score?
Yeah, it was good, very good, but like, it's not enough for me to be like, it wasn't groundbreaking enough for me to be like, well, the score was absolutely fantastic.
I mean, I must give you...
No, don't give me anything else. You give me enough. I'm not watching or listening to anything.
No, it's because you can't get a lot of them. I think you can... I mean, you can get majority of Life Aquatic on Spotify. Yeah. I don't think you can get, like, you can get them on YouTube, sure, but who wants to listen to fucking stuff on YouTube? No. But I'll give you, I've all these soundtracks on my
drive. I've actually listened to, I think pretty much all the soundtracks. I think, like, on these watches, I've listened to all the soundtracks. Because, I'm familiar with all the Mother's Ball stuff and the cool, you know, all that. And I like it.
Whatever. But
that's why I'm listening to the soundtracks, because that's the part I like. The movie,
okay,
just doesn't look. It is what it is.
Well, look, I don't understand you. I don't get it.
Am I right?
Well, you like this one more than me. I don't know. Okay.
Well, my ratings are, I guess, a bit different. I don't know. I didn't, because I wouldn't say it's like.
Like, it's not a bad movie, but it's not. It just wasn't.
Tenenbaums to me, I know this is blasphemy to all you Wes heads out there, but Tenenbaums for me doesn't seem like a substantially better movie than this to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, what?
It doesn't. It better. Performances. Better movie. Jokes. Better movie.
The jokes are way better. Like, there's actual jokes in it. Like,
yeah, there is. And I liked it more, but I wouldn't say, but yeah, fucking. By a lot.
That's that Luke Wilson scene alone.
You're getting too hung up on my ratings that I give on the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
But if in reality, I probably have Tenenbaums higher than Darjeeling.
We're past reality at
but
this
I can't
stage.
Give Darjeeling less than Bottle Rocket, because Bottle Rocket, I was not invested in Bottle Rocket at all. And
I wonder if you'd watched this first and that this was your mark and you're like,
maybe. But I
might be lower
because I had seen a few Wes Anderson ones, so I knew the vibe.
No, but I mean, if we had done this one first before Bottle Rocket and all that,
possibly.
You're frustrating, man.
I possibly would have appreciated Bottle Rocket a bit more. Yeah, but
you know what? It's pretty shitty of me giving out to you for liking a movie.
Isn't this what you want?
This is the whole thing. Yeah, you're not liking it the right way, Andy. This is my problem. I have to talk to my therapist about this. Excuse me.
Yeah, but then...
He just doesn't do things the way I want him to
do them. But then my problem would be like, but would you not be like that? And then I'd be like, yeah, actually, yeah. And like, no, actually, more like this though, wouldn't it? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. whatever you say, Terry.
Well, we get our plugs in.
What a crazy episode.
Really does feel like we've been around the... the world.
You can catch us on social media. We've been back in the charts lately, folks. Thank you very much.
You're back in our hearts.
And yeah, if you want to check out more stuff, you can catch us on Twitter at WSGApod and Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. On Instagram at the minute, I may even see if I can put it up on our reels if they allow for stuff that length. We have a full. Pitch meeting. It's an older one that we did, but we did it in studio, so it looks nice and crisp. And that's up as a freebie.
A gold one as well. That was
where I pitched Terry Brainwave. That turned out to be limitless. Terry pitched me a movie called Platinum Level Member and a few other ones.
Oh, hey, because we did the pitch meeting. I remember I pitched the one on was like a late night talk show.
Yeah,
where
that's in that one,
and it was like. Eminem was there. Here's what you do now. You take Eminem out, you put there Will you Smith in. We gotta go
revamp
straight away. Yeah.
So it
could not be more perfect for his life now at the moment.
So that's a lot of fun. I would if you like this sort of stuff, I'd advise check that out. You also have a link to our Patreon there if you are so inclined.
Ooh, the Patreon. Now over behind on the paywall, we got our two tiers. We got our Hungry Hearts, which is a pay what you want tier. Literally, you could pay. I mean, the minimum is a euro. Pay a euro. You get access to all our great stuff there. Or the most of our backers are on the $5. There are big shots. $5 tier, 450 in euros. And of course, we don't know it's in sterling.
You don't want to know.
And for whatever you pay, you get access to 4 extra episodes per month. You get access to all our back catalogue of our What's So Great About. You get What's So Great About the MCU. What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. What's So Great About 90s action movies. What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies. And a bunch of other bonus stuff. We did one on the slap incident. Speaking of Will Smith... It's weird through line that we've had this year. We did one on King Richard.
Mm-hmm.
We reviewed that movie, and then we did one on his slap after winning, or before winning Best
it's
Actor.
It's funny because we were talking on the series about King Richard coming up, like, oh, he's going to do it. And then
were saying, oh, he's getting such a claim for it. And I'm like, this movie
then
looks
we
terrible.
Watched the movie, and then we've reviewed the slap that happened on the night that he won the award for the movie. So.
So there's a big, big Will Smith theme going on over there. There's also, like Andy mentioned, our pitch meetings where we kind of do a bit of improv, try and sell each other movies. We got a bunch of top fives. We're just about to record a top five sporting moment. So if you want to hear what that is, get on over there. We've got...
And if I may, we've got Put It in H's back on Patreon.
Oh, of course. Once a month,
we're doing... Going back to season 3, our pal, a personal friend of the show, Bill Oakley, said that he thinks it was one of the best seasons, the best season of television ever.
Ever.
So we're going back to see what... To put it in H. And
we're going back to put it in H.
So, yeah, join us for that. And I think I'm... You know what? I'm going to say that for off mic. I keep doing that. I'm sorry, Terry, go on.
That's what you get access to. Now, if you can't afford to pay literally whatever you want,
you're a liar.
You can't afford to pay a euro. I mean,
you're a liar. That's why we set up the other tier to catch yous, all right? Because we know you're liars. Sorry.
But you can do me a favour and give me a rating and review because I was so happy to see us back in the charts. My badgering is paying off gangbusters. Yes. Now, Andy, in this movie, Owen Wilson has a $3,000 loafer stolen from him. So if you have two loafers, it'd be $6,000. Now, I don't need a 6,000-star review. I don't even need a 6-star review. Okay. I tell you what, you can just give me
it's
the 5-star review. But seriously, folks, really, those 5-star reviews have, you know, got us back in the charts. Or maybe just we're doing good content and more people are listening. Either way, I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would appreciate it if you, you know, tell a friend, tag a friend, tag yourself, share a link, do our marketing for us. Yeah. You know, yeah. Really, yeah. Really, you know... eases the burden on us, you know. It is the least you can do for getting this free content.
All right, now Terry, let's dial it back.
No, Andy, they need to know. They need to know. Okay. You said, "Oh, I'm transcribing." They don't know how long it took me to transcribe all these notes.
He's got lots of notes.
Yeah. So, but thank you anyway. If you've made it this far, you're doing the Lord's work.
I'm retiring the "I love yous."
I'm retiring
"I love you." We're coming up with a different.
I'll just retire the 5-star bit then, will I?
You can't do that. That's essential.
This is essential because when Andy says
"I love you,"
and of course you get the big L from me behind the Patreon, you can't tell me that's not essential, Andy.
Folks, please.
It's another perk that they get for paying whatever they pay every month. They get the big L from me.
Okay, okay.
The big T. I get the big L.
Folks, thanks. Thank you very
much. This really went off the rails.
We've had guests the last few weeks. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, we actually don't know.
To,
we just don't know what to do. What
back to a twofer.
Yeah. Oh my lord.
On that note, folks, we will catch you next week with a very special episode of... Is it Fantastic Mr. Fox?
It sure is.
Boom.
Je me baladais sur l'avenue, le cœur ouvert à l'inconnu. J'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui. N'importe qui, et ce fut toi. Je t'ai dit n'importe quoi. Il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser. Aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Tu m'as dit j'ai rendez-vous dans un sous-sol avec des fous qui vivent la guitare à la main du soir au matin. Alors je t'ai accompagné. On a chanté, on a dansé, et l'on n'a même pas pensé à s'embrasser. Aux Champs-Élysées, aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Hier soir, deux inconnus, et ce matin sur l'avenue, deux amoureux tout étourdis par la longue nuit. Et de l'étoile à la concorde, un orchestre a mis le corps, tous les oiseaux du point du jour chantent l'amour. Aux Champs-Élysées, aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit. Il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Aux Champs-Élysées. Aux Champs-Élysées. Au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées.